Welcome to part four of our series, Run. In fact, this is the conclusion of a four-part series. So glad that you are here with us today. And right now, I just want to pause and welcome all those who are just now joining us online. Come on, everybody, let's welcome those who are just now joining us. Whether you're watching live or watching at a later recorded time, we're so glad to have you with us today. I believe God has something special to say to you today. I really have enjoyed this series, Run, and it's been a great run. Okay, that's as good as it gets right there. All right, so, but if you have missed any of this, I want to encourage you to go back, and all of these messages are archived on our website at crosspointworshipcenter.com. There you can download the messages and follow along with us as you look at those messages of the past weeks. Also, today, if you're watching live today, there are message notes there online that you can download and follow along with us. I want to get right into today's installment, but let me just first of all just sort of bring us up to date. We're basing this series on a scripture that's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And let me just share that with you. Also, there in your worship guide, there are message notes that you can follow along. Some fill in the blank. Got a lot for you today in the way of some scripture that I believe is really going to help us. But let's begin with this one in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 that says, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs? So we're all in this together, this human race that we're in. But only one person gets the prize, so run to win. So what he's saying there is a right way and a wrong way to run this race. We want to run and be winners. And so then he goes on to say all athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. And so, and then he says, so therefore I run with purpose in every step. I'm not shadow boxing. So there's a reason why I'm doing this. I'm not just running around in circles. I'm not just spinning my wheels. I'm not just wasting time. But there is a prize to win at the end of this. This race is going somewhere. There's a destination in mind. And so we are running to win. In week one, we looked at this thought, and that is to run with passion. Run with passion. And so when we run, if we run with passion, we're going to have a good race that we're running in. We're going to run with zeal. We're going to run with some energy. And in order for us to have a race that we're running with passion, we need to have something passionate we're running towards, something worth running towards. And we talked about running to God and that we need to make sure above everything else that we know Him, that we have a right relationship with Him. And so the first step in running to win is to run with passion to a God who's really passionately in love with us. The second week, we talked about the second step of running to win, and that is to run with perseverance. Run with perseverance. It's not just a sprint, but this thing's a marathon, okay? And so when we run with perseverance, we looked at what that entails. I encourage you, again, to check that out if you missed that online. That's a great installment of the message of this series there. And then last week, we looked at this, and that is to run with purpose. We're not just running for no reason. There is a purpose, and discovering your purpose, why you're here, and the race that God has purposed for your life makes all the difference. It's a game changer. It'll change your life. So be sure and listen to that one as well if you did not get that. Today, I want us to conclude this series with this thought, and that is that we are to run with people. Run with people. And so when we talk about running with people, we're going to talk about really running for what matters. And let's look at this scripture that's found in 2 Timothy. Again, we're running for what matters. 2 Timothy says this. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have remained faithful. And he says, and now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And then he goes on to say, and the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. And so Paul knew it wasn't just about his race and him alone and what was in it for him, but he also was extending that out saying, hey, this prize isn't just for me. I don't have a monopoly on this. This is for everyone. This race is to be shared. The road is to be shared that we're running on. And so I want us to focus today on what matters, really running for what matters. And let me just let you write this down first and foremost, and this is really what matters. Eternity matters. Eternity matters. Now, we think a lot of times it's those temporary things that matter the most in our life. And those things may get our attention in the moment. It may be some things that are devastating that happen to us. The temporary is just that. It's temporary. It'll fade away. But what really matters are those things that last forever. And so understanding this, I want you to write this down. And that is that I am designed for relationship with God. And we've already covered that in week one. I'm just designed for relationship with God. But also with people. With people. Because people matter. Because people are those things in this life. Is the only thing you can take with you is people. People are eternal. In fact, Jesus, when he was asked, what is the greatest commandment of the law? In Matthew 22, Jesus was very clear. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. That's that passion. We got to go for him with everything. And that's really the only way this thing really works. And he says, this is the first and greatest commandment. But then immediately he gives them something extra. And he says, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus came to this earth, left the comforts of heaven to come to this earth to be with people because he loves people. And he knows that's what really matters. And that's why he said it's not just enough to say I love God, but you also need to love people because that's really who God's in love with. That's what he is really all about. In fact, John chapter 1 and verse 14, this is not in your notes. I'm going to give you some extra stuff today. He says, the Bible says, the Word became flesh, talking about Jesus. He came and made his dwelling among us. He came and lived with us. He came and hung out with us. He became one of us. He became a people too. And he walked with people and he went through the same things that you and I go through dealing with people. But he came intentionally to be with people because he knew that is what matters. Let me just give you this statement. People matter because people have an eternal destiny. And we really need to keep that in focus. Because I think sometimes we put more focus on the things that will not last and the things that are temporary. And we disregard the things that really matter. And people are really what matters. People matter because people have an eternal destiny. So a couple things I want to encourage us to do today. One is, as we follow Christ, we are to reach up to God. And if you're not following Christ, I encourage you, reach up to God. Because that's really where all your answers are coming from, reaching up to God. But then there's another one, and this is what Jesus was saying. You need to reach up to God. But secondly, we need to reach out to people. Reach out to people. I got to share with you that this past Sunday, we had a small group activity at event at the home of our small group's pastor. The men were gathered there. The women went out to a restaurant and had some time together and a women's small group that same time. And the guys were at a meeting at the home of Pastor Steve. So we were there watching football. And then at halftime, we took a break and we got into some spiritual truths. And Pastor Steve said, hey, guys, we're going to talk about the series that we're in right now. Now, if you want to do a small group, this is the right way to do a small group. The most spiritual small groups are those small groups that takes the pastor's message and talks about it, right, and in a good way. But I'm talking about this series called Run, and I can't really say I'm a runner. I walk a lot all day, but I don't run. I'm not a runner. But Pastor Steve, he's got a lot of experience in this area of running, and he was sharing how that he was his first time ever trying to compete in a marathon. He saw this prize that this guy had. It's one of those things that put around your neck and has the medal on it, you know. And he He said, man, how do I get one of those? And the guy was sharing with him, well, it's going to take 6 months worth of training. And this guy really became, the way I understand it, a mentor for Pastor Steve and kind of gave him some advice and counseled him on some stuff. And it was through that relationship that Steve really entered into this race. He told me about something I'd never heard about, and that was that when you're running a marathon, you can run up to this point in your training, but you really can't experience this until you're actually in the marathon, and that is that you get up around 18, 20 miles or so, you hit what they call the wall. And the wall is this barrier that you're going to run into, and it's going to just pull everything out of you. And if you don't have that thing that we talked about called perseverance to get through that, you won't know what hit you. And he was saying it just about floored him. I mean, just in every way, it was just, how can I press through that? But his friend had warned him and said, don't forget about the wall. Be aware of the wall. So Pastor Steve knew what to expect. He knew what was ahead, and he prepared for that. And I was just amazed at the story because what I realized out of that was, first of all, Steve was telling me how it was encouraging to run with people, other people in the race, and there's people there cheering you on. But not only that, but there was an individual in his life that had already poured into him, that had mentored him, that had prepared him for what was coming. And as he was describing, the wall can represent many things in our life spiritually that we sometimes run into and we hit, and we got to get past that in order to win this race. And I don't know what that wall, the name of that wall is for you. You know, it can be finances. It can be health issues. It can be a career. It can be, but I tell you what, oftentimes it is, it's a person or a relationship. And you say, well, now that there was a person that helped Pastor Steve, and that was a great help. But then there's sometimes when people aren't a help, sometimes people just hurt you. And it can become very difficult because they can become the wall. In fact, it was Paul, we talked about this on another week, that Paul said, he asked the question. He said, you ran this race well. He didn't say what has hindered you. He said who. It was a who. Who has hindered you? And sometimes it's a people problem. And that's a problem. People can be a problem. People can be a problem, and I'll prove it. You're a people too, and you can be a problem. I can be a problem. In fact, my biggest problem is me. My problem is everywhere I go, there I am. See, you get a break from me. I don't. You know what I mean? Everywhere I go, there I am. But people can be a problem. I just want to give you some truths related to people, and I believe this is going to help us. Truth number one, write this down. People will hurt me. You're going to be encouraged, right? I thought you were going to give me something positive. I'm positive. People are going to hurt you. It's going to happen. That's just part of life. People will hurt me. Let me give you another thing that people will do. In fact, this isn't in your notes, but I just kind of made a list of what happens when we have dealings with people. People will hurt me. First of all, another thing that they'll do is people will disappoint me. You ever been disappointed by people? Will people let you down? Yes, they will. They're human. They're going to let you down. People will reject me. Have you ever been rejected? Felt like somebody stiff-armed you and rejected you. People will reject me. Another thing is people will betray me. Have you ever had somebody betray you? I don't know of anything more painful than have somebody betray you, and you thought they were with you, and then they're not. But they do more than that. They turn around and put a knife in your back. Anybody? I'm just trying to be real here, okay? People will betray me, and then there's another thing, and that is people will run away from me. You could say they desert you, they leave you, what have you. They'll run away from you, and I've experienced this. And in fact, I've found that sometimes the people that you seem to help the most, those are the people that will hurt you the quickest. You ever had that experience? Come on, y'all, just hang with me. It's just going to get better in a minute, okay? I'm just giving you some realities of life that you probably already know. But there are times where people will hurt you. They'll disappoint you. They'll reject you. They'll betray you. They'll run away from you. There's been times where I can look back. There was times where I was there for other people. And those same people, when I was at a point where I really needed people, I needed them. They were the people that left me. You ever been there? Come on. Life can be painful. people will hurt me. But let me give you another truth. Jesus came to help hurting people. You say, well, if people are going to hurt me, I don't want to have anything to do with them. In fact, if people are going to hurt me, I'm just going to put up a wall. And if I put up a wall and don't let anybody in, they can't hurt me anymore. Here's another truth, and that is that Jesus came to help hurting people. Now, that list I gave you there about how the people will hurt you, do you know that Jesus had every one of those things happen to him? He experienced every one of those on every level. In fact, everything that we've ever went through, Jesus has already went through that in our place. Let me show it to you. In Hebrews chapter 2. In fact, I see I missed a verse. Can I just go back for just a moment? I just want to underline truth number one, and that is found in Genesis 6 and 5. It's there in your notes. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. So there's just the truth in Scripture that people without God's presence in their life, they're going to hurt you. But here's a more wonderful truth. In Hebrews chapter 2, in the Message, it puts it this way. That's why he entered into every detail of human life. Then when he came before God as high priest to get rid of the people's sins, he would have already experienced it all himself, all the pain, all the testing, and would be able to help where help was needed. So he's saying everything that we went through, he's already been tested in every area. There's not a difficulty that we haven't went through that he hasn't went through himself. So let me give you another list. I gave you the list of how people will hurt you. Let me give you the list of what Jesus has done. Jesus came for people. Not only did he come for people, but Jesus suffered for people. He dealt with people. He made his dwelling among us. He has dealt with the same things that you and I have dealt with. Not only did he go through all that suffering for people, but then, get this, Jesus died for people. He laid his life down for people. Not only did he lay his life down for people, but Jesus rose again for people. Are you getting this? Real simple, right? But how profound. Jesus then not only rose again for people, but Jesus is coming back for people. I hope you're getting the picture. God is all about people. He's on a mission to rescue people. He loves people. He came and, yes, he suffered at the hands of people, but yet he still loved people and died for people, rose again for people. He's coming back again for people. That's good news, everybody, because guess what? I'm a people too, okay? Let me give you some scripture, again, that's not in your notes, just a few extra things here. Romans chapter 5 says this. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. And it says, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But listen to this, but God demonstrates his own love for us. He demonstrated it. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now that's Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. And let me give you another scripture that's in that same chapter in verse 10. It's powerful. It goes on to say, for if when we were God's enemies, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Now only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Now, I've highlighted their reconciliation because I really want us to get a hold of this. Now, again, at best, We're all a mess. People are a mess. But Jesus came for us because, not because we had it all together, but Jesus came to us because of our need, because we were a mess, and because he loves us. And he wants to do this thing called reconciliation in our life. You look up that word reconciliation, and it simply means what it says. It's to restore, it's restoration, or to restore relations, or to make compatible. Also in that word, there it means the word forgive or to purge away. The Old Testament word for the word reconciliation is the word kafar, which it has in it the meaning of atonement. Atonement. And it's where atonement is made and where that happens is there's a condition without tension, it's described as. It's a condition without tension. So where there was this tension between us and God, Christ came and he atoned to reconcile us to God, to remove the tension between us and God. He shed his blood so he reconciles the conflict between us and the Father. He atoned for our sins, and so he reconciled us. He resolved the conflict and the division. Because you see, what happened was there was sin that entered into the human race. We're talking about a race here. There was sin that entered in, and it separated us from God. We didn't have a relationship with God because sin entered into that. And every one of us was born into that human race and that condition of being separated from God. We were all, guess what? We were all born sinners. People say, well, I was born this way. Yeah, we all were. We all were born as sinners, right? Because, but in fact, the Bible says that we were born and shaped in iniquity in our mother's womb. We were born in this thing called sin. And you say, well, that just sounds kind of harsh, Pastor. I think we're all good people. Okay. Well, then you just tell me, do you have to teach a child how to do the wrong thing? No, you don't. They're born sinners. They know. You don't have to say, well, let me teach you how to steal. Let me teach you how to cheat. Let me teach you how to. No, they know. They come in knowing. They're coming in selfish, come in mind. All right, right? So there's a separation between us and God. But Jesus come to reconcile that, to bring us back together, to mend that relationship, to restore that relationship. One definition of the word reconcile is to reunite, to reunite. So we were united, but now we've been divided, but Jesus has come to reunite. That's what he came to do. Now, the list for what people can do to me, it looks pretty bad, but Jesus came to reconcile people in right relationship with God. Now, when that happens, everything changes. Jesus says everything now becomes new. Now there is hope for the human race, and now there's another truth that I want to share with you. And that is, not only will people hurt me, but there's another truth, and that is that people will help me. I heard John Maxwell talking about this principle. He's a great leadership guy, and he was talking about how, you know, He found that people would hurt him, and he decided one day that he would just shut people out, that he would not let them in to this place of his heart where they could hurt him. If he didn't let people in, if he didn't let people close to him, he said, I could protect myself, and they would never hurt me. I would never be hurt again as long as I protect myself and don't let people in and see the real me. I'll just let them see the exterior, but I'll never let them really in and see who the real John Maxwell is, because if I do, they may hurt me. But what he realized is that wall that he put up, not only did he shut out the people that could hurt him, but he also shut out the people that could help him. They could help him. People, yes, will hurt you, but guess what? People will also help you. Help you. So let me give you another list, okay? People will help me. Not only that, people will encourage me. God will use people to encourage me. Not only that, but people won't just reject me, but people will accept me. There are people that will accept you and love you. People will fight for me. There are people that will have your back and will defend you and go to bat for you, right? Yes, there are people that will do that. You think, well, I don't know. Now I've been hurt, and so I'm skeptical. I don't trust anybody. Let me tell you, when God gets in the equation and gets in people's heart, people changes, and there are good people, and there are good relationships that you can be a part of, And those people will not only fight for you, but there will be people that will run with me, okay? There will be people that will run with me, that will do life with me. And I want to tell you, when you discover those people, life gets better. That's why we do what we do around here with small groups, because we believe real life change happens in the context of relationships. That's why we say we're not just a church with small groups, but we're a church of small groups. Because when you get in relationship with people, those people are able to help us. In fact, Proverbs 27 and 17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. So, in fact, even when we have conflict and it seems like there's difficulty, at times God is even using that conflict situation to bring help to your life, because it's iron that sharpens iron. Amen? Y'all still with me? I know this is a lot of just getting into it, but come on. Ecclesiastes, let me give you this one. That's there in your notes. It puts it this way. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either one of them falls down, one can help the other up, but pity the one who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down, then they will keep warm, but how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. So we are strengthened by our relationships. So we know that people can hurt us. We know that Jesus came to help people. And as Jesus helps people, then guess what? He turns around and there's actually people that can help us. But we can't leave it there, because there's another truth I'm going to share with you. And that is that God wants to use me. Write this down. God wants to use me to help people. So we want to be on that list of people that are helping people. We want to be the one that is part of those people that are on that list that help people. 2 Corinthians is such a beautiful scripture. And I wanted to emphasize reconciliation a moment ago to get us to this verse. Grab hold of this verse with me. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. So it's all changed now. They're a new person. We're new people now. Okay? All this is from God who, look at this, reconciled us to himself through Christ, through what Jesus did. And that reconciliation is not anything that we did. It's not that we got ourselves together and got it all together. This is all Jesus is doing, what he did on the cross. That was his reconciliation. He reconciled us through the atoning of by his blood being shed for us, okay? So all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. And then look at this. And gave us the ministry, go back, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Oh, so something's changed here. Not only has Jesus come to reconcile, but now he has then, the ministry that he gave to us, what he did for us, and he reconciled us. Now he has called us into that same ministry of reconciling others. So he's called us and given us the ministry. There's a ministry, a message of reconciliation that he has given us to give to others. Go on to the next scripture. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That's our message as a church. Be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Come on, somebody give God a good praise right there, would you? That's good news, everybody. That's good news. So, understanding that people, yes, will hurt us, but Jesus came to help people and to reconcile people and to make all things new. We now understand people will help us, but not only can we leave it there, but we have to know that we are then called to be on those list of people that are helping other people. And so let's put another list up, okay? So now we can say, I will help people, right? I will encourage people. I will accept people. I will fight for people. I will run with people. Amen? And so we all have to take responsibility to make sure that we're fulfilling what God has called us to do, that we are there for other people. So you say, but you don't understand my people. You don't understand the people around me. You don't understand how difficult they are. You don't understand the conflicts that I have. Let me just give you some practical four things that I believe will help us know how to run with people. So how do I run with people is the question. Write this down. Number one, and this is very practical, okay? I want you to have something practical you could take with you. Number one, and that is eliminate any harmful relationships. So, yes, there are some relationships that are toxic and are unhealthy and are not good. And I know God could change anyone, but there we have to make choices in our life as we're running this race. In fact, Proverbs 13 and 20 says, "He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm." This is not in your notes, but Proverbs 27, 19 says, "A mirror reflects a man's face. What he is really like is shown by the kind of friends he chooses." There's a scripture that teaches us that if we remove the contentious person, strife will cease. In fact, 2 Corinthians says, "Don't be yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship does light have with darkness?" In other words, if you're running this race, now it's okay to minister to people and help people out of the darkness, but I'm talking about people that you're doing life with, okay? That's what I'm talking about. So we need to eliminate harmful relationships that can destroy us, okay? There's a difference. All right? We good there? Let me give you another one. Number two, restore my broken relationships. Restore my broken relationships. So there are relationships that are broken that need to be, reconciled. And we're called to do that. Here's what it will involve. It'll involve us to reconcile. It'll also call us to forgive. We'll say, "I'll forgive if they say I'm sorry." Well, forgiveness may have nothing to do with their response. It's something that we do. So reconciliation sometimes is possible where the other person is agreeing and you reconcile together, but it may be that there just needs to be a forgiveness on your part, and there then comes to the point at times where we have to come to this word, and it's called accept. Sometimes we just need to accept people as they are. And that doesn't mean you necessarily approve. There's a difference between approval and acceptance, okay? I accept my sons, I love them, but I don't always approve, okay? There's a difference. But we accept them. We love them. We care for them when we accept. Okay, I mean, that'll help you in marriage, right? Don't expect him or her to be perfect. There comes a time where you accept. So that's how they are. Okay, I love them, and I choose to love them. Okay, so that's how we restore broken relationships. Romans 12 says this, "Do not repay anyone evil for evil. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." Third thing I want to give you, and that is initiate some meaningful relationships. Initiate some meaningful relationships. Let me give you some areas that I could encourage you to do that at, okay? If you're not in church, get in a church. Find a church. Be a part of a church. There are many scriptures that cannot be fulfilled in the Bible unless you're in a local body of believers, a church, where you can do life. Get into relationship with people that's going to be healthy relationships, that are going to encourage you, that's going to help you. A second area is small groups. Get into a small group. You expected me to say that, didn't you? And it wasn't just because Pastor Steve told me to say that, okay? Get into a small group. Get in relationship with people. And here's the thing, when you get, just to help you understand what we're about around here, it's not about getting into a circle and telling all your business to everybody. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about getting in relationship in a small group where you can find somebody where you can get close enough to them that the mask can come down and you can get real. I'm telling you, that's where real change happens. And they can pour into you and you can pour into them. I'm telling you, that's where growth happens. That's where health happens, okay? In fact, next week, we're beginning a new series called Masquerade, and we're talking about how we take down the mask, because a lot of times we're behind masks. It's a six-part series. You're going to enjoy it. It's going to be awesome. Invite somebody. Come back next week. We're going to really get real, get authentic, where real life happens. But get into a small group, or get on a team. Get on a team. We have what we call around here the dream team. We want to help you discover what you've always dreamt of doing and let you do that. Get on a team. Get in relationship where you can be doing something that matters and making a difference in the lives of other people. Hebrews chapter 10, let me give you this scripture. Hebrews chapter 10 says, "And let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." So we need each other. And you say, well, I need people to help me. Okay, and so that's why I come to church. I need people to help me. Well, guess what? Another reason is why you come to church and you show up and you get around other people, not just so people can help me, but I got to be one of those people helping them. Amen? And that may sound like a small thing, but I'm telling you, it's a huge difference. That's a huge difference. And what happens is the people that just want somebody to help them, they're at a maturity level where they need to grow and get to the place where, come on, where we're now helping other people. So my being there is not just for me, what I can get out of it, but I've got to be there because I want to be an encouragement to somebody else, right? Let me give you a fourth one. Invest in important relationships. Important relationships. And yeah, I got a few ideas for you here. Invest in important relationships. That means you got to be intentional. Here's one, your spouse. And why is it the one that we seem to love the most sometimes is the one we hurt the quickest, or we take for granted, or we say, well, they just understand, or they know. I don't need to tell her I love her. She knows it. You need to tell her. Come on, guys. I'm giving you some good advice, all right? And you might need to demonstrate it. Find out what her love language is. It may not just be words. It might be, okay, I know you love me. Now, would you help me clean up the kitchen, please? Come on. Demonstrate it in love. Invest in that relationship. Love one another, right? Love your spouse. Here's another one. Come on, let's keep it in the house. Love your children. Love your children. Invest in your children. Your job is not more important than your children. Your job's there to help facilitate your family and those relationships. And I don't want to be one of those that can win the whole world and lose my own soul, or I don't want to be one that wins the whole world and lose my own family either, right? Invest in your family. Invest in your children. Spend time. Come on. That's what Sunday afternoons are for, right? So after lunch, get your wife by the hand. You say, we're going to take a walk. After you pick her up off the ground because she fainted, because you're actually going to spend time with her, you know, you take her by the hand. You take her for the walk. I think we're going to the festival in the park today, Freedom Park. We've already got it planned out. We're going to take a walk. Come on. Spend some time together. Invest in one another. Invest in your children. Let them know that they're important. Amen? Not, by the way, my kids like this, not just because they make good grades. Come on, you're proud of them over it, but you're going to love them you're going to love them even if they flunk everything. You're going to love them the same. You're not going to prove, but you're going to love them, okay? You're going to accept them, all right? They're straight A's, so I'm thankful. All right, they're thankful. Let me give you another one on this. How about your neighbor? Let's extend it out. Your neighbor. Jesus said, greatest commandment is love God with all your heart and love who? Your neighbor as yourself. Who is that? It's the one you work next to. It's the one that lives next to you. It's the one you meet out in places of business. It's who you're in class with. Others. Invest in those important relationships. And let me give you one. This isn't the bottom of the list. This is actually the top of the list. I just left the best to the last. God. You know, God, really, all he wants is to have a relationship with us. That's really what he's after. He's all about people. He came on a rescue mission for people. It's been said, I've said it facetiously before, pastoring would be okay if it wasn't for people. Now, that's just me being facetious. But I want to tell you, life is no good without people. We need people. We need each other. It's not about things. It's not about stuff. It's not how many toys I can get before I die. It's not that. That stuff is going to burn, okay? It's about people. It's about people. I'm excited we got a new building coming up. But that's not about the building. It's about the people that's going to be in it. It's the potential that we have to get some kids in that building and some young people in that building and see lives changed. Amen? It's about people. It's about people. It's always about people. God's vision, his harvest, his heartbeat is all about people. I'll give you this scripture in Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Why did he endure the cross? The joy set before him, and that joy was you and I. He looked beyond the cross and said, there's a joy. I'm going to have a relationship with them forever. I'm building a forever home. He was building a house, not out of stone, but it's people. It's the people. That's what comprises his house. He says that's that joy set before him that caused him to endure the cross, scorning its shame. And now he's sat down at the right hand of God, at the throne of God. Consider him, it says. Look to him who endured such opposition from sinners. So I'm having problems with people. Look to Jesus. He had opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Look beyond that. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and 11 says, finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind, live in peace, and look at the result, and the God of love and peace will be with you. And really, you can't do this without him with you. And so that letter, a couple of verses later, concludes it this way. Paul concludes it this way. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. I love the way the message puts that. It says, the amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit. In other words, I've got a relationship with him. Be with all of you, because it's going to take him being with us, his help, to help us to know how to run with people. Write this down. Jesus endured the cross so I can experience life. Again, no greater love than this, and one laid down his life for his friend. And God demonstrated how much he loved us, and he demonstrated how much he wants us to experience life. He demonstrated how much he wanted to have a relationship with us by giving his all for us. After you've written that down, would you just bow your heads with me? Lord, I thank you for the fact that you came for me. You came for this person. And you've come from every one of us. You've come for whosoever will believe on you. You've offered them life, life to the fullest. And God, this doesn't work. We can't find a person to fill your place. We can't find an activity to fill your place. Only you, oh God, can fill our hearts. But God, you have designed us with this purpose. To be connected to you and to be in right relationship with you. And then when that's right, then you're able to help us have right relationship with people, and this whole thing works. So right now I pray for those, God, that it's just not working right now. I pray first of all, God, that they would discover your great love and that they would invite you to come in and help, which is what you came to do. Came to help us. This we know, God, and that is that it's hurting people that hurt people. And you've come to help hurting people. I pray, Father, that you would make yourself known right now as you just open your arms, welcoming, inviting people to be in relationship with you. While your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I just want to ask a question, and that is, are you in right relationship with God? And if you're not in right relationship with God, I want to tell you that can be solved today by simply in faith asking Him to come in and reconcile you to Himself. So here's what I'd like to do. If that's you and you know that you need to do that today, I want to help lead you in a prayer right where you're seated. This is the way we do it around here. We don't have you stand or come to the front or embarrass you. But just while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, right where you're seated, I just lead you in a prayer between you and God. If that's you today, you say, Pastor, that's me. When you pray that prayer, would you count me in? Would you include me in that prayer? If that's you, would you just lift up a hand and you could put it right back down? And I just want to know who I'm praying with, who I'm agreeing with. And if you're watching online, I encourage you, join us. Join us. Pray with us right where you are. God bless you today. God bless you. Let's pray. In fact, I'd like everybody to pray out loud for those that need to pray. Just for support, would you do that? Come on, let's pray this. Just say, today, God, thank you for everything you've done for me, for sending your Son to die on the cross for me, that I could have relationship with you. Today I open my heart. I ask you to come in. Heal me. Restore me. Make me brand new on the inside. I turn from my way to your way. I surrender my life to you. Make all things new. I believe on you now. I accept you into my life. Come on, say this. I give you my life. And with all of my heart, I will follow you as you help me. God, thank you for every person who just prayed that prayer and needed to pray it. I rejoice with them. Those watching online and those here, Lord, I pray for them. I pray that you would help them day by day, step by step, to follow you. God, to make you the Lord of all their life. I pray, God, that that relationship will grow stronger and stronger day by day. And I pray, God, you would help us to be a church, to continue to be a church that focuses on what matters, making an eternal difference in people's lives and seeing their lives change forever as they are connected to a living God who loves them and has the best for them and has a great eternity for them, God. I thank you for it, God. We give you all the credit, all the praise for all you've done today. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and everyone said, amen.